Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Bulls Nation? Welcome into the CHGO Bulls Podcast. Presented by PointsBet. Don't forget that promo code CHGO when you sign up to live your bet life. I'm Peck. Bulls underscore Peck on Twitter. That's Big Dave. Bow, BNWL Sports. Will, the thrill, the goat, Gottlieb, and won't Gottlieb. Hanging out with our pal and our producer, Joey, in Studio B today, gentlemen. I feel like it's been forever. Will, are you weirded out that we're in Studio B?
I'm so jealous. I love Studio B.
I forgot he really does love it. This is like...
I really do, but the writers I've never done a live show in Studio B.
You're right. You haven't. You haven't.
Well, if maybe you weren't in Brazil all the damn time, you would get to experience the Flossin beauty of Studio B shows.
Now, I teed you up for that one.
You did. You did. Well, can I ask you... I know you've been in Brazil all this time, and I'm mad I haven't asked you this yet. But what are you eating in Brazil? Like, what's the go-to out there when you're in Brazil that you just love? Like, you're good enjoying this food.
One thing that I learned about Brazil is that every day, most restaurants just have a lunch buffet. There's not, like, a meal that you have. So, you know, you can get some salad. You can get some – they have, like, rice and beans usually, some chicken, some sort of darker meat. And then depending on what region you're in, so like in the north where it's much warmer, they have this dish called moqueca, which is like a fish stew, and it's super heavy and they eat that all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of different types of food depending on where in the country you are, but a lot of lunch buffets and then also just like getting groceries and cooking my vegetables.
How many times have you gone to a churrascaria?
I have not gone to one, but we've done them with friends, like homemade churrascos.
If I were in Brazil, I would be going to a Brazilian steakhouse every day for dinner.
That sounds about right.
My arteries would explode if I did that. I don't know if I could handle that.
See, that's the trick. You got to start with exploded arteries.
You know what Matt calls that? He calls that being a quitter.
You're damn right. It's like when you're at like the Americanized versions of that, the steakhouses that come around, they just have waiters carrying around different cuts of meat on swords that they carve on your plate.
Yes, I know.
And each person on their table has a little coaster that you can flip side to side. And if it's green side up, it means just pour all the meat on my plate. Yep. And then the red side means don't.
Yep.
Please stop pouring meat on my plate. Anyone who turns the red side up is a goddamn coward.
Matt is the liver king in the north.
I've made this comparison before. Apparently, Liver King is a fraud, but I agree. The paleo type lifestyle. He's a carnivore. He's like a caveman human. He's only eating things that were put on this earth for us to eat. Meat, mostly just meat. Yeah. Couple other things.
Do you guys follow me on Insta?
Beer.
Yes.
Because this past weekend, you would have seen a ridiculously humongous and delicious cut of meat that I had up at the lake last weekend.
I did see that. I was impressed. So, who smoked that?
My buddy Connor. Shout out to him.
Shout out, Connor.
We put it in the smoker for like a solid 6 or 7 hours. Yes. It was a bone-in standing roast that was like this fucking big. And we just destroyed it. It was great.
By we, you mean...
Well, we had some help.
Okay.
Me, Connor, another buddy, and my parents.
Oh, okay. Right. See, I have to check with Matt. You know what I'm saying? Because when he says we, I'm like, because that could mean 70% him and 30%, everybody else. So just checking.
When I was in my teens and 20s, I could do that.
Wait, say it again, Will.
What makes you think that is not how it went down? 70% Matt, 30% everyone else.
Touche, sir. Excellent point.
We should just come out and pay you a visit in Brazil while you're out there spending time with with your better half, Will, and then we will all go to a churrascaria together. How about that?
Please. I think we should make that happen.
They got shrimp?
Oh, yeah.
I know they do. I'm just saying that for him.
Brandon's here today. Maybe we can convince him that it's a work trip of some kind. Yes. Get him to buy our flights for us.
Yeah, there's swords of meat.
No, there's just a really we're scouting Felicio's younger brother down there. We got to go take a look.
Felicio's here. He's never leaving. Tell him to go home, Will.
That's exactly what the Bulls need is the next Felicio.
He can't wear number 6 though.
Can't have it. Oh my God.
Caruso's the last Bull to ever wear number 6.
Right. I was wondering about that. I wonder, do you guys think he'll keep it or switch to a different number? Because they just tweeted after the initial announcement that they're retiring Bill Russell 6 league wide that players who are currently wearing it or wore it last season are grandfathered in and continue wearing it if they want to.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know what it means to him. So I think that's something that plays into it. But if it means that much to him, I think he'll keep it. But
right.
He seems like the kind of guy that would give it up, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good take. You just don't know. Like, some guys are really attached to their number.
And yeah.
You just don't know.
Like, for some reason, I see Caruso as a dude who could rock the double zeros, you know? Ooh, which, like, you just don't really see all that often in the NBA anymore. But maybe it's just his bald head. But I'm like, yeah, he could totally rock double zeros.
He's always doing this, so yeah, that could
right exactly. He's doing this.
Well, I mean
this.
Well, I know he's wearing it because he couldn't wear 4 because he wore 4 with the Lakers. He can't wear it here because of the great Jerry Sloan, and that number's retired. So if he gives up 6, I don't know where he goes.
Well, he can't go from 4 to 6 to 8 because 8 is Zach.
That's true. I don't know where he goes.
And he can't double 6 to 12 because that's Io, right? Is Io wearing 12 or is he?
He's 12. Yeah. Okay. He wore 21. Maybe he can go back to 21 because he wore that in college. And then, you know, Will would love him even more because he'll have the number 2.
They're retiring Jimmy Butler.
Dave, I'm surprised you would be okay with that knowing that you want them to retire 21 for Matt Thomas.
No, I don't want them to retire from Matt Thomas. Matt Thomas will want that number to live on. You know what I'm saying? And everybody who puts it on to bask in the greatness that was in that jersey for that last year. So, no, it would be the right thing for him to do to continue the lineage of the greatest 21 of all time in Matty Legend.
Did Matt end up on a – he is currently unsigned. Just curious. I wasn't
– Why are you messing with that?
I was curious.
Man catching strays. He didn't do nothing, bro. He out here practicing, being the best practice player in the world. That's all you doing. Throw those shots at my guy, man.
Hey.
Matty Legend, baby. He will return. Shout out.
All right, guys. So we're moving on with our Eastern Conference offseason evals today. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. Obviously, they made a couple of trades, the DeJounte Murray trade being the big swing that they made. We'll talk about that and who they drafted. But before that, and speaking of offseasons, we wanted to quickly touch on the latest from David Aldridge, one of my favorite people who covers the NBA and has done so for a very long time, with The Athletic these days. He ranked the best off seasons of all of the NBA's 30 teams, and he released it in 3 parts. So the first ten, this middle ten, and the Bulls are in the middle ten, actually in the exact middle of his rankings at 15. Mm-hmm. Joey, do we have that graphic that we could take a look at? A little screenshot for those of you who might not subscribe to The Athletic. There it is, giving you the rundown of what they finished at last season, who they added, any people they lost, which, you know, Troy Brown Jr. doesn't really count as a loss, who they retained, and mentioning there at the bottom, Lonzo returning from injury. And then he also makes note of the arrival of Dragic, what he calls a sneaky good pickup with Andre Drummond backing up Vooch, talking about the season DeMar had, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm a little bit surprised that the Bulls were this high on the list. And, Will, I think you were maybe talking with us yesterday about how there's some interesting perspective here when Bulls fans might think, God, we basically did nothing in the offseason. Worst offseason ever.
Again.
There they are smack dab in the very center of David Aldridge's rankings.
Yeah, it's kind of perfect. Like, I've been super critical of the offseason, and I think for good reason. But when you think about these things, not just in terms of like what your team did or didn't do, but in sort of the context of what the other teams around the league did, you do have to factor in that they didn't do anything that like actively made them much worse. They didn't completely swing and miss on their draft pick. They didn't like overpay on some middle of the road.
Hey.
Yeah. Why? They didn't overpay like, you know, some terrible free agent. you know, they didn't do much. And I don't know, I guess there's some reason to think that, you know, just by not hurting yourself, you're kind of staying in the middle. And that's kind of where they're left is 15th out of 30.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But I also, first of all, I liked reading it because I was like, oh, a positive take on the Bulls offseason. Thank you. That is refreshing to actually sit here and check out. It was basically the things I was saying when they got Drummond, who at the beginning I was not a fan of. And I admit that I was not a fan of Andre Drummond coming here just as a player. But again, he answers a need, a big need for the Bulls. As he mentioned in that article, 29th in the NBA in rebounds. And one of Matt's favorite phrases, grab a freaking rebound, was uttered many, many a time when we were watching the games together. And many, many fans on Twitter, if you go up and down that timeline and see it, they couldn't grab rebounds. It was terrible. Vooch needs help with that. Drummond does that. He gets 20 rebounds in his sleep. Notice I didn't say 10. He gets 20 rebounds in his sleep. That dude can get rebounds, man. Everything else that goes with him is why I didn't want him. I already knew what he could do as far as rebounding, but the IQ and the mental of it is where I always fell off of Andre Drummond. But it seems the things that I've read, he's gotten better at that, especially last year. I didn't hear much from him. The main thing I saw him do was throw up a peace sign when he was going in for a layup. That was the main thing I saw him do. And he looks inspired. Like, he wants to prove it because, again, Will, this is basically the last time he's going to get that big old contract. At that age he is, you know what I'm saying, and knowing what centers are valued at in the NBA nowadays, this is probably his last go-round at getting some big money. So I think he'll be playing for something coming off the bench for the Bulls this year. But, yeah, I like the pickup of him, and I like Dragic as well, you know, getting solidifying that backcourt, which we saw they sorely needed another point guard when Lonzo Ball went down, and then Caruso went down. You know, you just had Ayo and the legend out there. So it was a struggle. So having Dragic out there will definitely solidify that bench as far as point guard is concerned and put certain guys in the place that they're most comfortable at, specifically Kobe White. Well, he won't have to dribble and do other things like that. He can just run, shoot, and defend. And that's all they really need from him.
I'd love if Kobe would defend. But I do agree, you know, just in terms of, like, the moves that they made, it's not, yeah, like – those guys are fine in a vacuum, but when you think about it in the larger context of what the Bulls did and then what I think they needed to do, that's to me where, you know, I think 15th is on the generous side. And I was listening to Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue on the Dunked On podcast. Nate gave the Bulls, I believe, I wrote it down, C-, and Danny gave them a B. I think I lean more towards that. We'll probably have a longer discussion about just like the overall Bulls offseason and grading that out. But it definitely is interesting to see sort of a more positive perspective on it because, you know, sometimes I suck the air out of the room with my negativity and Dave is the only one here to hold me up, prop me back up.
I got your back, sir.
Are you saying that I never am successful in cheering you up and giving you a positive spin on things?
Well, you're positive about steak. I'll give you that.
Steak face.
At steak face.
I mean, like
what about the steak underscore face. Is that taken?
Steak is that taken? Yeah.
I'm going to look right now. You guys keep talking.
See that up. We see steak underscore face.
No, steak face underscore Bulls. There's no way that's taken.
That's way too long of a handle.
Like Bulls steak face could be a thing. Like that could be, I don't think that's taken either. That can't be taken, but steak underscore face. Yeah, that should be available, man. Hopefully it is. We'll see. We'll hit everything up because we're going to get Matt his steak
face. At steak underscore face is also taken.
Oh, my goodness. What is going on?
Who are these people?
Who are they?
Steakhead?
I don't know, but their name is Daniel Williamson, and they have over 2,000 followers. They are from Toronto.
Shout out.
And the last time they tweeted was 2016.
Damn. Okay, so he's not even active on here. He's moved on. He became a vegetarian.
I wonder if Twitter will ever wipe the inactives from like 10 years ago.
They need to. Like,
I agree.
Any Twitter account that just hasn't tweeted in 5 years,
yeah,
wipe that slate clean and reopen that handle. The interesting thing to me, guys, is that you know, sometimes when you want a more national perspective of the Bulls, if you feel like you're just looking at the same team and the same situation over and over again, a fresh set of eyes is nice. David Aldridge basically is saying here what we have said all offseason long with these low-key offseason moves. A lot of what happens with the Bulls this upcoming season, do they take a step forward? Do they stay where they are? Do they take a step back? Revolves around the health of its roster that won a lot of games last season when healthy. And the way that Aldridge phrases it here at the end of his little blurb is kind of like scary to me. He talked about how, you know, DeRozan kind of got dragged down carrying such a heavy load with all those guys out. He said, for the Bulls to stay in the mix in the East, they need the rest of their cavalry to get out of triage.
Yes.
And I read the word triage and I was like, oh God. He's not wrong, though.
No, he's not.
Just bodies dropping like flies.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the injuries is definitely what set the Bulls back a lot last year, however you want to look at it. Even when it would happen earlier in the year, we thought, oh, my God, it's over now. Like, already, we got off to a 4-0 start. We got that killed Zach LaVine's four-game winning streak already, and now we're going to lose every single game from now on. Yeah, like, so they definitely need – health is the main thing because – when we talk about it, we always talk about Lonzo Ball as number one. It has nothing to do with his game. It has everything to do with his health. We just want him to be healthy when he's out there, Will. So we know the Bulls team that we're looking at, and we can evaluate it much, much properly because you saw a tale of two, you know, you saw two different sides, man, and both were super weighed up and super weighed down. You know what I mean? There was no balance for the Bulls in the season. So you either were like, oh my God, this is the greatest team on earth because they were number one seed, or oh my God, this is the worst team I've ever seen because they were 8-15 and can't beat any teams that are in the playoffs. So I hope to find that balance this year. That's what I'm looking for.
And I'm just sick of tired about talking about injuries. Like, yeah, we've been doing this all year. We've been doing this since basically Derrick Rose tore his ACL. It's like they just can't have a healthy season. It was Derek, and then it was Derek again, and then it was General Soreness, and then it was Jimmy, and then it was D-Wade, and Rondo broke his thumb, and they would have beat the Celtics, and they just sucked for five. Like, I'm done talking about injuries. Can we just have a healthy season?
Yeah, it is crazy to think about. I just had that thought. April of 2012, that first round, game one, when D-Rose tore his ACL the first time. That was 10-plus years ago now.
10 years ago, man.
And it feels like we have been just slogging through a decade of key Bulls players being out with injury.
Yeah.
What the hell? I
would like to just have like an offseason and a training camp where everybody kind of comes out healthy. Because we haven't had a training camp where everybody comes out healthy, you know, in a minute. Like, I'm dating back to when Lowry broke his elbow.
Oh, my God.
Or dating back to when your boy Denzel went from, you know, a hurt foot to being out for the day. Derek
broke his orbital bone. Yes. Bobby and Nico got into a fight. And yes. Like, I mean,
and
it was something every year.
Oh, man, I forgot about that one. The friendly fire when Taj accidentally elbowed Derek in the face.
Oh, man, dude.
And he, like, wore that face mask for the first 2 months of the season and was like, yeah, I'm going glass all the time because I have no depth perception.
Dude, Carlos Boozer tripping over luggage when he's coming down the stairs. You know what I mean? It was always something hanging
this
over
is,
the
this
Bulls.
This is why
man.
We can't so, have nice
so
things.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to this season just being okay. And everybody just being healthy. So when we get to game one, I'm like, yay, we're a regular NBA team without all these injuries.
And I know that the new front office sent him packing, but I still feel like the more recent injuries are somehow Tanaka's fault.
Tanaka!
Even though he's gone, I still want to blame him.
Blame him.
All right, so there's that. David Aldridge has the Bulls smack dab in the middle of his offseason moves rankings. Up next, we'll dive into what the Atlanta Hawks did this offseason, talk about whether or not they did enough to eclipse the Bulls in those Eastern Conference standings. But first, Big Dave, you want to tell the people about the athletics and the greens?
Those greens, you got to have them. And I'm so glad the Thrillenium is here with me today because we can talk about those AG, the athletic greens. And Will, you will love it over here because there is plenty of athletic greens on display, man. You got to get back and get you some of this free stuff. Or actually, I'll put some to the side for you.
Yeah,
put
some to the side for me.
I'll put some to the side for you. I got you covered, sir. You see why? Because he wants those 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, those whole food source superfoods, those probiotics, and oh, my God, the adaptogens. All to help you start your day right. That special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, immune system, your energy recovery, your focus, and your aging. And guess what? It don't really cost you nothing like that, y'all. Less than $3 a day. You can't even get gas for that, all right? It's cheaper than that cold brew habit. And it's cheaper than getting all those different supplements yourself. You're investing in their all-in-one nutritional insurance. Supports that mental clarity, your alertness. Oh, it's no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. And it does all this while still tasting amazing. But do not take the word of this man here. Take it from Will the Thrill in Brazil, who's always chill. Talk about it, Will. Tell about the Athletic Greens, sir.
Athletic Greens, you take a scoop, you dump it, and then tell them what you do, Dave.
Scoop it, dump it, shake it.
Drink it.
Drink it.
And then you drink it, and then you feel it. And that's what it. I do every morning. Put it in the shaker, drink it up. Mental clarity, digestive help. Great way to start the day. I'm loving it. I'm all in.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
You think they sell Athletic Greens at McDonald's?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say those two are opposing forces.
McDonald's is selling like salads and sliced apples these days.
When's the last time you've been to McDonald's?
If I'm on a road trip, I always stop at a Wendy's instead of a Mickey D's.
Really?
Yeah, because okay. I like Wendy's chicken sandwiches better than McDonald's.
I don't know why I'm acting shocked. I ain't had McDonald's in over 10 years, so I don't know why I'm over here shocked like this. But to make it easy for y'all, man, these Athletic Greens, we're going to give you that one-year supply of that immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 travel packs. Oh, and we're going to do it all for free. It all comes with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Bulls. That's athleticgreens.com/CHGO Bulls to take ownership over your health and pick up that ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Because it's Athletic Greens. Will the Thrill said it earlier. You scoop it, you dump it, you shake it, you drink it. And what you do, Will?
You feel it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Guys, you know what? You know what we got on deck tonight? An NFL preseason double header.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Football's happening?
Giants, Pats, 6 o'clock kickoff.
Oh.
Titans, Ravens, 6:30 kickoff.
Oh.
Football is back.
Football's in your face.
You know what that means.
What that mean?
Parlay Peck is back.
Uh-oh.
Today's episode brought to you guys by PointsBet, that wonderful, wonderful app that you should download and use promo code CHGO mm-hmm. when signing up. If you do it right now, you're going to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. You can put some money on the Pats to lose tonight, because to hell with the Pats. But that's not all. If you make a $50 more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker.
Yep.
Maybe this dope-ass Bulls one that I'm wearing today.
Pretty damn dope.
That's $2,000 of free bets, free CHGO membership, and a free shirt from the CHGO locker, all for just making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. See an edge in the game that you're watching? Are the Giants stomping the Pats tonight at halftime, and you believe that they will continue to stomp the Pats in the second half? Don't just watch the game, bet along with live. More live betting, more live markets, faster live cash outs when the Pats get their butts whooped. Download the PointsBet app right now and use promo code CHGO. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Boo Pats. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Will the Thrill. Tell them what to do.
You live your bet life.
Joey. Love it. Ah, Giants Pats. That will always make me think of Eli Manning beating Tom Brady in the Super Bowl twice.
Two times.
God, I love it.
Two times on you.
And Eli might be on my Mount Rushmore of football just for that.
That's amazing. And then he won 7.
Well, I just wanted to I wanted to show you this. I was inspired by Osvaldo Ochoa's comment here, and I don't know if we're going to have time to get to it, so I just wanted to make sure.
Needs to be in the rafters. All right, all right.
Are you?
Oh, look at that.
Dude, delete that from.
One moment in time. Look at that. I love, that makes it better, is the 2020 to 2021. That's what makes it even
It's
better.
Not even 2020
Which is actually
to 2021.
Incorrect.
It's just one season. Just one Sorry, season. 2021 to 2022. Right, yeah. I didn't even have the right years.
It don't matter. Year. Whatever it is, send it to me. I'm Whatever. Putting that up. Okay. Send that to
I'll
me,
I'll update
sir.
The years and send
He
it.
Had right. about as big of an impact when he was on the Bulls roster in 21-22 as he did when he was not on the Bulls roster in 2021.
You mean when they weren't going to the playoffs? Oh, okay.
You have.
Okay, I'm just saying this. Don't dispute facts. Is all I'm telling you.
You have a problem, sir.
Yeah, those Fatty 12 legend. Points per game were sorely missed.
Sorely missed, Will. Greatest practice play of all time. That's straight from the thrill. He said this. He told me. Greatest ever. All right? He's the one.
What the hell are we doing?
We're talking about the legend. What do we do? I hope he's still here. You know, August, go ahead, Will.
It's August 11th, man. We're scraping the bottom.
It feels every bit August 11th.
I mean, he's from Illinois.
No, I'm okay with it.
He's from Decatur. So, you know, maybe he's hanging out, you know what I'm saying, around here or something like
Decatur.
That.
Decatur.
You know, yeah, Decatur way is greater, baby. That's what they say.
All right, guys, let's talk some Atlanta Hawks offseason. They have had a very interesting offseason. Before we get to the big trade that they made and then the sub-trade that they made, let's talk about who they drafted. Because it's a familiar name for Bulls fans. AJ Griffin, son of Adrian Griffin. Correct. Which I did not know as I was watching the draft unfold earlier this summer, that he is the son of Adrian Griffin. Went to Duke, was great at Duke. Mm-hmm. 16th overall pick, goes to Atlanta. There you see his measurements, 6'6", 222. He does have a 7-foot wingspan. He made the 21-22 ACC All-Freshman squad. And what this guy can bring to the Atlanta Hawks right away appears to be shooting.
Yeah.
One of the best players in college basketball last season, especially in catch and shoot situations. He scored 1.36 points per catch and shoot jump shot, which was good for the 97th percentile of college basketball players last season.
I think that's good. Yeah, he's going to be nice. And I think he already has like an NBA body. You know what I'm saying? When I look at him and play.
6'6 and the 7-foot wingspan?
Yeah.
That's an NBA body.
And the way he's cut, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, that dude's ready to play basketball in the NBA. And when I would look up his draft profile when that happened, and this made me think of Will immediately, the comparison that I saw was TJ Warren when they compared him to him, man. So I could kind of see that, you know, with him. He won't be asked to do as much, you know, obviously, as TJ Warren would be, but – yeah, he can definitely score, but he struggles on defense, you know, as you expect most rookies to do. You know what I mean? He's going to struggle there. And, like, off ball, he's not great on that either. But if they're just asking him to shoot, you know what I'm saying, and to grow and to learn and do those kind of things, I think he'll be serviceable, Will.
I'm super high on him. I had him in my top 10 for sure on my big board, and I had him going top 10 in the draft as well in my mock. He's just, like, exactly what you want in today's NBA. He reminds me a lot of OG Anunoby in terms of the size and physical tools. And then, you know, truly had like one of the elite shooting seasons in college basketball last year. And really in the last several years, he is just an absolute sniper. Has dealt with a lot of injuries over the past couple of years. And that I think has held him back defensively and athletically. But he's somebody that I think projects to be able to create his own shot and defend at a really high level. And you're talking about 6'6", sharpshooter who can defend and has some creation upside. Like, yes, please. So I'm a huge fan of him. I think he fits really well next to Trey. And, you know, you bring him in right now and he can give you really elite shooting from day one. And then hopefully you're able to develop him and the other aspects of his game to where he can be more of a featured part of the offense and a stopper on defense. I think he's got a ton of potential and the ability to help on day one.
I mean, those shooting numbers, shot 49.3% from the field last season with Duke. 44.7% from downtown on just over 4 attempts per game.
It's basically a 50-40 season.
I mean, yeah.
Free throw percentage?
79.2. Okay. So, you know, so he's
50-40.
As far as college players go,
yeah.
if you're flirting with 80% at the stripe, that's great.
It's good. Yeah. That means you're not a liability at all when they give you the ball and they ask you to create. You know what I mean? You're not going to be that liability. So, yeah, it's going to be great. I think he'll be, like you said, Will, everything you said is dead on about him, man. So I'm interested to see how he fits and how they're going to use him, because having that size, he's able to play, you know, at least two positions, you know what I'm saying, playing the shooting guard or the small forward. And I know Will loves the small ball, so they might be able to cheat him, you know, if they want to at that four. It would be definitely be cheating because he only had no defense like that, but we'll see how they do it.
Yeah, but he's the kind of player that, I mean, obviously he's not going to be playing five, but he's the kind of player that if you can load up on enough of these guys, it allows you to play small, which I think what you're getting at there, Dave. So you need big wing defenders, shot creator, shooter guys, and he's just that to a T. He missed a couple of years due to injury, so I think that probably factored into his sort of lack of pop athletically. also playing a lot alongside Banchero. Didn't really get to handle the ball as much as he did in high school, but I really am high on this guy. I think he kind of flew under the radar and fell much lower in the draft than I thought he would, but I think he could be a real steal for them at, what was it, 16?
Yeah, 16. Two spots ahead of the Bulls.
Feels like that Cam Reddish upgrade. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what he feels like.
Right.
Yeah, it was AJ and Tari right before the Bulls picked. That was tough for me.
Which are two players that you would have loved to fall in the Bulls' lap, because it would have been great. Mm-hmm. But instead,
I'll take
he helps beef up a Hawks team that made some other pretty interesting moves. Before we move on from the draft, just a quick note. The Hawks did have a second rounder as well. They traded the rights to number 44, which was Ryan Rollins, to the Golden State Warriors for the rights to number 51 in the second round, which ended up being Tyrese Martin. And they got some cash considerations for trading down to Golden State's 51. Got to shout out cash considerations whenever you can.
Of course you do. That's your peoples. That's your peoples. Got to.
Gar.
It's equity with ownership.
All right, so real quick, did not do anything flashy in free agency because we know it was all about the trades for the Hawks this offseason, but they did sign two players to one-year deals. Aaron Holiday,
your boy,
the worst of the Holiday brothers, on a one-year deal worth just under $2 million, and Frank the Tank Kaminsky, 1 year, $2.4 million. Now that is some mega free agent dealings. It actually makes the Bulls free agency look like star-studded.
Yeah, man, but like you said, they did all that stuff during the trades, you know what I mean? So yeah. It was just like, we still got roster spots we got to fill out here. Who's out there? Throw a dart at, yeah, all right, Frank.
Kaminsky, sure. What are you doing? All
right, come on through.
I'm only 27, but I'm icing my knees.
Oh, man, shout out, Frank. I'm not going to dish you, Frank. You're from the hometown. Like, I ain't going to mess with you. Man. State, I should say.
College basketball legend,
yeah, he
Frank
is.
The Tank
yes.
Kaminsky.
Huge White Sox fan. Shout out.
All right, so let's get into the juicy stuff. Spurs, Hawks, just the few days past the NBA draft, mm-hmm. DeJounte Murray goes to Atlanta along with some dude named Jock Landale, which I think is a creative player name. I don't know who the hell that is. I don't even remember that name being involved in this trade until I went back and revisited it this week.
Will knows.
The Spurs get first-round picks in 23, 25, and 27, a first-round swap in 2026, and also for just a throw-in, Danilo Gallinari, who then, of course, the Spurs then waived.
Right.
And then he ended up going to Boston.
I love that.
So I'm eager to get y'all's takes on this because it is probably the biggest swing that was made in the offseason as far as trades go by any team. Pairing DeJounte Murray, first-time All-Star this past season, with Trae Young in that backcourt. What do you guys think about this move?
I mean, it's a great move. Like, you went and you got a proven All-Star in this league. You know, a guy that can play both sides of the basketball. And a guy who's going to play both the point guard and the shooting guard. Because when Trae Young goes out the game, they can easily just move him over to the point guard position where you saw him thrive. He's an All-Star at the point guard position in a conference where the point guard was very, very deep. So, yeah, he stood out that way, man. He was just an excellent player for the Spurs. So, if he can continue that here in Atlanta and then get involved with that run-and-gun style I'm sure they're going to go with, yeah, he could be really, really formidable for them.
Yeah, I mean, he had really a breakout year in a season where, you know, DeMar left the Spurs and basically the Spurs gave the keys to DeJounte. You know, now going back to another team with a guy who's obviously better than he is, he's going to have to shift more to that secondary creator role. But to your point, Dave, they really need that. They basically have no one when Trey is off the court or when Trey is getting triple teamed in the playoffs. Like, they have nobody that can create their own shot. So now having DeJounte there, who is not only a great creation guy, but also one of the elite perimeter defenders in the league, really a perfect fit next to Trey. I really love that. But I think it also should be pointed out that, like, absolutely massive price to pay for a guy who, you know, is under contract for two more years. So basically they gave up, what were the years again, Joey? It was, I think, 23, 25, swap
23, 25, 27, and then a swap in 26.
Yeah, so DeJounte is up after the 20, what is it? After the 23, 24 season. So after next season. So in 25, they will owe their unprotected pick to the Spurs, and DeJounte could not be on the team anymore. In 26, they could give them a swap when DeJounte is not on the team anymore. And then 27, again, DeJounte could potentially not be on the team. So I think a lot of this sort of hangs in the balance of whether they bring him back and on what deal. But obviously, just from like an on-court standpoint, you really can't ask for a better fit next to Trey. You know, he's not like the best off the ball shooter and scorer in the league, but he is just pretty damn good and just an awesome fit. Culture and identity wise, he's also just having like the craziest villain summer. Have you guys seen what he's doing like in these pickup games? He's like, before you hopped on. He's going nuts.
Weird.
He's like throwing the ball off people's face. Like, yeah. What is going on?
That's talking so shit.
I think the Spurs had him under control, and as soon as he went to Atlanta, he's like, I'm wilding out now. Like, I'm out of Pop's watch. Mm-hmm. This is the real me. I'm throwing the ball off everyone's face.
Look, man, that's a heck of a change to go from the Riverwalk to Magic City, bro. You know what I'm saying? That kind of brings a different thing out of somebody. And who knew this about DeJounte Murray? You know what I mean? You didn't know that he had that kind of personality about him.
Yeah, he seemed very unassuming as like a young player who was sort of getting closer to that star status in the league.
Right.
Never seemed like a big talker.
Never seemed that way, man. The main thing you started seeing bits of it in was when Zach LaVine was becoming a free agent, and you saw him post up that picture of Zach LaVine in the Spurs uniform. Yep. That was the most you had seen him do. Now he's, you know, throwing the ball at people, like you said, Will, and, you know, talking about people, mamas in their face. Like, he's getting it in.
Barton in the comments saying DeJounte on the Hawks makes him better, but I think he meant to say, but I'm not intimidated. If the Raptors had pulled off this move for DeJounte Murray, I'd be more concerned about facing that.
I kind of hear you on that.
Look, so basically, the way I see this is obviously adding a player like DeJounte should be a upgrade for Atlanta.
Yeah.
Is it a big enough upgrade that makes that trade package worth it? Three first rounders and a first round swap is a lot for that player, especially as you mentioned, Will, if he spends a couple years in Atlanta, he plays second fiddle to Trae Young. They don't get out of the first or maybe the second round of the playoffs. And then he hits free agency and can pick anywhere he wants to go. Maybe it's not staying in Atlanta. And then you gave up a lot of your future for 2 years of slightly better, but still not good enough. I'm not saying any of this to disrespect DeJounte Murray, because I think he is a very, very good player. I've been in love with DeJounte Murray since he came out of the draft. Yeah. I wanted him. But the price tag on that trade, I don't know. Kudos to the Hawks for taking a swing this big.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah.
And we've sat here and we've legitimized the Bulls giving up two firsts and Wendell for Vooch.
And I didn't care.
And some days we feel better about that happening than other days, depending on how Vooch shot. But, it's a big swing. It's a big swing. If I were grading this trade only, we're going to get to our grades of the entire offseason.
Yeah.
A B for a swing, not an A because of the cost.
It also interests me that the Spurs were so willing to let him go.
Yeah.
Just because of the Spurs organizations and how they treat those young guys, like just to be that willing to be like, yeah, it's okay. It's cool. You know what I mean? Like, and not get, you know, that thing back in return. Like when they, you know, did for Kawhi Leonard, it was getting DeMar DeRozan. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were getting an all-star in return for that. Him, it was like, you know, we getting some first-round picks, and, you know, we just going to start our tankathon. You know what I'm saying? And go back and do it like that. But it seems like they were okay. And I'm sure his contract, you know, like you mentioned, Will, played into it as well, having those 2 years left, because they might have known he might not have been long for San Antonio, might not want it to stay. But it still kind of, you know, raised the flag for me when I saw that they were just so willing to do that.
Right. It's also Will mentioned, like he's like a lock to at least hit unrestricted free agency because of how his extension works, where he's not eligible for a max extension. So he's going to become an unrestricted free agent. Yeah. I mean, if I had to bet, I would say the Hawks are probably still the favorite. It's obviously 2 years away, but like, I don't want to jump the gun on the grades, but none of you guys have them locked into a top three spot. And they just traded three unprotected first round picks going all the way up until 2027.
Yeah.
So you've all said this, but it's just a lot of eggs to put in the DeJounte Murray basket. If you don't, it's hard. You're not even sure you're going to be a top five seed in the East.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, when you put it into perspective of the Rudy Gobert trade, which obviously I think was It was four first rounders plus a swap, if I recall correctly. But Rudy Gobert is a couple years older, but he's also like a significantly better player. I think the Spurs did really well on this trade in terms of selling high on a 25-year-old all-star that really had a breakout, realizing where they were as a franchise and kind of understanding that they didn't really have a path towards contention with their group. And now they're just collecting draft picks. They've got, I believe, three picks next year. Their own, I think they have Charlotte, and then they also will have the Hawks. In 25, they'll have the Bulls pick, their own and the Hawks. And then in 27, the Hawks again, plus swap in 26. Like, they're just really loading up on picks. You know, they've got the player development, and they're just retooling, reloading for the future, and really going all in on Victor Wembanyama.
He's the one. Yep. He's right.
So just a quick clarification here on that first pick in 2023. Mm-hmm. It is the from Charlotte, from New York pick in 23, not their own.
Okay.
That they are trading. Okay. And that one does have protections on it. So 25 and 27 are theirs, along with the 26 swap. The 23 pick is the one that is via Charlotte from New York and has protections.
All right, all right. Still a lot to give up, man.
Yeah, it's still a buttload to give up. But the Hawks weren't done. Wait, there's more. If you guys caught some of our shows while we were out in Vegas for Summer League, you may have remembered this as the, big trade alert from our friend Will Gottlieb here.
Go Bob!
And this was like in the height of the Kevin Durant watch panic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it was, the Kings got Kevin Herter from Atlanta. Joey, do we have that trade up as well? So this one, a little simpler. The Kings get Kevin Herter. The Hawks get Justin Holiday, Mo Harkless, and a future first from Sacramento. To me, veteran experience and a little defense, I think, is what Atlanta is beefing their roster up with here. Yeah. And saw Kevin Herter as an expendable piece. And meanwhile, the Kong is going to Kongs. I don't know why they were so greatly coveting Kevin Herter.
But the Hawks understand one thing, that if you're going to do this, you must have two Holidays on the team.
Exactly.
You cannot have just one. And Aaron can't be by himself. He's going to need another Holiday to activate all of the Holiday that's going on. You must have at least two out of the three.
It's like having the feeblest chipmunk. You got to have at least one of the other chipmunk brothers.
Correct,
there to support
man.
Him.
Yes, you got to be there to support him. You know their goal is to all play together. You know that's got to be the goal. But sorry, as far as that trade, I like Kevin Herter, though. I did. I like Kevin Herter. He was cool. You know what I mean? But I thought that was a lot because the Kings, you know, it's just like here. Like, here, take stuff from us. We don't care. I've always liked Mo Harkless. I've always liked him. I liked him when he was with the Clippers. Like, I've always liked his game. I think, honestly, he's a good bench piece for them if he can be healthy. But, yeah, and Justin Holiday is kind of proven so far in this league. You know what I mean? He can hit those threes, man. So he can get hot from there, man. He's a proven guy.
Well, I think the idea for them was to recoup some of the draft equity that they gave up. So they got that pick back. And as we know, it's from the Kings, but it's only lottery protected in 24, and then it goes down to top 12 protected in 25, top 10 protected in 26. So I actually think there's a pretty good chance that will convey, just given the fact that the Kings haven't made the playoffs in like 20 years.
Right.
So there's probably a good chance that at some point they pass that along. For the Kings on that one, like, they got a 6'7" shooter to put alongside Fox. They got Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, and Domantas Sabonis. Like, I actually think that's a lot of really good shooting and spacing around a pretty lethal pick and roll duo. So I don't hate it for them, but to your point, Matt, like, they just needed to consolidate. They brought in Griffin. They've still got Jalen Johnson. They got a lot of young guys and a lot of bodies that they need to really figure out what they have. And so basically got off of a bunch of money that they had just signed Herter to the previous summer, and picked up, you know, another spare draft pick that will, you know, potentially make it look a little bit better when some of those are heading out to the Spurs year after year.
And I mean, you got to give some props to Mo Harkless. I mean, yeah. That dude, Harkless? How could you be Mo Harkless?
Shout out, Save I. We used to say that all the time.
Anytime I hear the name or say the name Mo Harkless, I think of John singing that stupid parody of that Kanye song.
Yeah, I used to sing that, man. That was fun.
So there that is. Two significant trades for Atlanta. They go the trade route instead of the free agency route this offseason, trying to add a little bit more help to the gang. And, of course, the gang being not only their star point guard, Trae Young, they've got Capella. They've still, after all of the talk and all of the dangling and all of the trade block, have John Collins still. Hunter, you got Bogdan. You got Bogdan squared. You got Okongwu. Like, this is a good, talented roster.
Yeah.
And it just added some more talent and some more depth.
I agree.
And no key losses. You know, you lose Herter in the trade. You lose Gallinari in the trade.
Yeah.
And then there is one question remaining, which is, you know who is still unsigned and was an Atlanta Hawk last season? Lou Will, man. What's going on?
What's up with Lou? Why can't he get a job in here, man? He's proven. Like, you give him a job. Is that giving him the Jamal Crawford treatment? That's what it kind of feels like, man. I don't like it. Go ahead, Will.
I feel like the sun may be setting on his career. He's like, I think 36. He's just kind of been slowing down year after year. Like, it's,
maybe that's all, you know.
Yeah.
That's all he's going to do. Get off the bench and get buckets. But, yeah, he's getting older. I mean, there's no way around that, obviously. There's no way around that at all. But we'll see. Could you be so heartless?
Right, before we get to our grades and our projections for Atlanta this upcoming season, Big Dave, give our friends at PointsBet one more shout out, would you?
One more again.
Talk about how the Pats are going to lose tonight.
Oh, I got you. No, actually, yes and no. That's not where that's from, though. But I ain't got time. If you enjoy CHGO, one way you can take it to help with this world. That right. It's to download that PointsBet app and use that code CHGO when you sign up, because not only are you going to get those two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But if you make a $50 more first time deposit, you will receive that free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of that awesome web content. And you'll even get a free t-shirt like this one right here,
bling,
of
bling,
your choice from that CHGO
locker.
And all the people here in Illinois, if you're in this beautiful, beautiful state of Illinois, where it's a tad hot for my liking outside, but I got my cool air conditioner sitting in front of me, so I'm not one to complain right now. You can download that PointsBet app and register your account from start to finish and do it all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life. When can you start living your bet life? Let me think about it. In seconds!
Mm.
So what are you waiting for? Because once that game starts, you don't just bet. Joey, what do?
You live your bet life.
Sound effect? Oh!
We are back on it, man.
I just got a serious craving to play the OG Nintendo.
Ooh.
Mario on the OG Nintendo.
Oh my god! Oh. We going in.
Ooh.
I think everybody, that just excited everyone.
I just went from 6 to midnight. Oh my god.
Will, don't leave me with this person.
Oh my god, that sounded satisfying.
Will, why? Come back, please.
All right, guys, let's look at our grades and projections for the Hawks of Atlanta. I gave them a B.
Yeah.
Dave, you gave them a B as well. Yeah. Will, a little bit of a tick up with an A minus. Wow. Okay, so we are all over the place.
Yes, we are.
With our projections. So, Dave, you were more specific. I just put play in, so yeah. 7 through 10.
Yeah.
You believe they'll be 6 through 8.
Yeah.
Basically, so making out of the play in is what you believe.
Yeah, I don't even believe the 6.
And Will has them 4 through 6. Wow. Yeah. So, Will, you're a believer.
Yeah, I'm a believer. I think they're going to be the 6th seed. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to be top 4, but I think, you know, they basically just like collapsed last year after what was a really impressive run the year before. I think they've still got that in them. And then you bring in DeJounte. The reason why I didn't go higher is just because of the cost of that trade. I think that could look really bad on the back end. And like I said, it really depends on whether they are able to bring him back and if it works. So it will be like a revisionist history thing, but I really like what they did. I do think it really changes their championship equity in terms of like giving them a real chance to contend, just because they've got this really young core that can all grow together and get better. And if they all strike at the same time, then you're talking about a team that could actually be, you know, top 3 or top 4. So yeah. I really like what they did. I think they've made their backcourt, like basically they took a ton of pressure off of Trey defensively and offensively. And they're super young athletic team that can shoot, that can score, that can defend now. I really just overall love what they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can't argue any of that because all of it is logical. It makes sense. My thing with them is, I look at everything as compared to the Bulls, and I'm still taking the Bulls over them when I look at them. Because for this reason, their strength for me lies in their backcourt. And again, the Bulls' strength is in their backcourt defense. And looking at Trae Young and the hell he had to go through playing against Ayo and what he did to him, you bring in DeJounte Murray to kind of get that off of him. But then I still got Lonzo Ball and I still got Alex Caruso for you to deal with right there. So that's still a lockup. The other thing is that I don't believe in that defense at all. DeJounte Murray, clearly their best defender. You know what I'm saying? Right now. But then after that, there's nobody I'm really like, you know what? You're a great defender or I fear your defense or anything like that. They still haven't answered that question for me. And without that, that feels like a play-in team. Now, they could be a 6-seed. That's why I kind of said 6-8. They could be. But if I'm comparing that to the Bulls against them, I'm taking the Bulls at that 6-seed over them.
Yeah. I mean, like, the way I look at it, you know, some people might disagree. DeMond disagrees with you, Dave, saying that the addition of Murray, he thinks, will be significant enough in helping their defense, allowing to hide Trae a little bit more. But I am with you in that I still don't think that alone makes the Hawks a better defensive team than they were last year. And they maybe should be better. I feel like they look better defensively on paper with some of these guys that they have.
True.
Capella and Collins and Hunter. But they're just not. You know what happened a lot last season? The Hawks scored 120 points and gave up 128. Like, I still see that as a fairly common outcome for Atlanta this season. The Bulls are healthy. They have just as much offensive firepower, I believe. Maybe a tick less. But if healthy, the Bulls are a better defensive team than Atlanta. Again, as someone who really likes DeJounte Murray, I am saying, before I believe it, Show me. And that's why I have them projected to still be a play-in team for this upcoming season. If they do end up sneaking into six, I won't be shocked.
Right.
But I don't believe it right now. I just don't.
Go ahead, Will.
Yeah. I mean, the Hawks had like the second best offense in the league last year. And they were pretty bad defensively, 26th in the league. I think that's kind of a big question mark. Like, is DeJounte making you now a top 15 defense? I don't know. But I think like they've got the right infrastructure with DeAndre Hunter and Collins and Capella and Okongwu. I think they can be a lot better defensively. But I mean, they have like probably, you know, a top three offensive engine in the league, and they're going to be able to outscore most teams. So, and then, like I said, I think they have enough internal room for development, probably enough, like more upside than like any of the teams in front of them. Like the Celtics, I mean, they're already really good and they can get better. The Heat, I don't think, have like a ton of room for upside. The Bucks are kind of like who they are. Who else? The 76ers are kind of who they are, maybe like a little bit better. The Raptors, I think, can get better. But I think the room for growth for the Hawks is probably as much, if not more, than anybody else in the East. And they already have, at 23 or 24 years old, one of the best offensive players in the league. Yeah. And I think a pretty good system around him, even though it didn't really work out that way. So I'm still very bullish on what they're able to do. They were also a much better defensive team the year before at 18th. So like I said, I think they just kind of like had this weird collapse last year after making the conference finals. I'm pretty high on what they can become. But it also, like the same as the Bulls, like it will require a lot to go right. And that's kind of the trap that you fall into with upside, is it could go one of two ways. And, you know, the Bulls definitely have, I think, a better defensive unit, but they've also got a ton of questions. And I don't think they've got quite as much offensive firepower or room for internal growth. So that's why I have them above the Bulls. And then also, you guys know me, I'm aggressive. I want to like make big swings and like, you know, really improve your team. And they obviously did that. It's a hefty, hefty price to pay, but I think it will certainly work out for them in at least the next 2 years while Murray is under contract.
But I would say also, but the difference I would say with the Bulls is I've seen them be that top 10 offense and that top 10 defense, kind of top 10 or 15 offense, top 10 or 15 defense. Whereas the Hawks, I know that offense, like you said, is ridiculous. But does Murray raise you to the middle of the pack? If they get to the middle of the pack, like 15, 16 ranked defense, yeah, then that's a whole nother story, because now we're talking super vicious with them. So that's what I'm interested to see. I don't like their mental makeup either, because I've never liked Collins' mental makeup. I thought he was a hothead like that. Seeing Murray in this offseason, I don't know now. Even though it's going to be fun watching them play the Knicks now, now that Trae Young has Jontae Murray and Collins with him, that's going to be a fun time. But their mental makeup, I'm not super sold on either. So, yeah, those are the questions I worry about with them, man. But again, like Matt said, if they do end up in that, you know, 4, 5, 6, I wouldn't be super shocked just because, how you said, well, just how talented they are on that offensive end.
Colin and I want to give a quick thing to Okongwu, because I think he missed a solid portion of last year. I think like almost the first half of the season with his injury in his second year. But I think he's going to be like a really, really special player as a facilitator and rim protector. He's going to be awesome. I think he'll sort of start to take over the reins from Capella. And I think that will also, you know, potentially improve their defense and their ceiling, because Capella is like a solid defender in terms of rim protection. But
true.
You know, I'm not sure how much more he has in terms of, like, you know, keeping guards in front of him on the perimeter. I think Okongwu can really be good at that.
Another team that gets injured as well.
Right.
They deal with that a lot too.
Yeah, I loved Okongwu coming out of his draft class, like loaded with potential. Great, certainly NBA body. He played 50 games his rookie year, 48 games last year. So his health will obviously be key for them. In the comments, Colin said he's siding with Will on this one. I know it was lucky, but the Hawks did go to the Eastern Conference Finals without DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, yeah, you just made my cat an argument for me. It was lucky as hell. They drew a very friendly first-round matchup with Tibbs' Knicks, who fought like hell all regular season to then be exhausted and beat up for their playoff series. And then in round two, they benefited from another Doc Rivers choke job, and they needed 7 games, and they should have lost that series to Philly. But hey, thanks Ben Simmons for being soft as Charmin and a giant choke artist. I mean, did they really make the conference finals?
They did. It's not in quotes. They literally did.
Oh, I have it in quotes. I have it in quotes. Absolute, not a hypothetical. Absolute sham of a conference finals appearance for Atlanta 2 years ago. What a joke.
I give them that credit for getting there, man. Like, you got to give guys credit for doing it. Because if it was our team, I would be over the moon right now. So, yeah, I would love to trip and fall.
I don't have to give credit to anybody I want to,
Dave. That's fine. I'll do it then. Let me do that here on my side while I knock on this wood and save that one over there. Yes. I give them that credit right there, man. Because, again, Trae Young is a great point guard. All right? He is great. This dude is almost averaging 30 a game with, like, 11 assists. Like, he is great at playing that point guard position, man. So, yeah, I give them that kind of credit. And even though the mental makeup I struggle with, John Collins is still a 20-10 dude. He can still do that for you, man. And DeAndre Hunter is the question mark, because he's never reached that full potential that, you know, has been given towards him. So, that's going to be interesting. We'll see if Clint Capella can stay healthy enough to be out there. But Okongwu, as you said, is the one who's being primed for that takeover right there. And of course, like we talked about earlier, you got DeJounte Murray now, man. It's a nice thing to lean on right there, Will.
Yeah, their whole core is like 25 or younger, with Collins, Hunter, Capella, Okongwu, Trey, and now DeJounte. Like, they just have so much room for growth. They're just so dynamic. I don't know if they have the mental makeup. Not sure if they're there yet, but, like, you know, whether or not you qualify their conference finals appearance as legit, like, that's a really good experience for a young group to get to that point. And yeah, progress is not always linear. They will, you know, stumble back a little bit. And I think they're going to be right there again this upcoming season.
Well, and now they got the Wiley vet / Bulls legend, Justin Holiday, to kind of, you know, help them with that tough mental makeup.
Do you like Justin Holiday? No, okay, I was wondering, because your face was changing the whole time I was talking to him. And I was like, wait, does he not like Justin Holiday? What's Justin Holiday?
Do you?
I don't hate him.
He just, like, makes me think of that window of time when being a Bulls fan made me want to jump off a goddamn bridge.
Yeah, but you still kind of want to do that.
Not all the time. I'm not in a perpetual mood of threatening to jump off a bridge.
Okay, so
when Justin Holiday was wearing a Bulls jersey, I was.
That's fair.
And it wasn't all on Justin Holiday. It's just like when I hear that name, I'm like, oh, dear
flash
God.
Flashback. Yes. And
# leadership committee.
You're right, because I had to try to save him many a day from jumping off that bridge. This is true.
There's so many bridges in Chicago,
so
you guys.
Many bridges. So many bridges, man. Why do you have so many bridges? Stop that. Matt Peck likes to jump off of them.
So Look, there it is. This is, I think, the first team we've discussed in these in this series of Eastern Conference offseason evals that is a team, maybe also kind of with Toronto we talked about yesterday, that's going to be fighting with the Bulls for the, the back end of avoiding the play-in playoff spots. And yeah, they will be different, and it'll be interesting to see what Atlanta looks like coming out of the gate this season with these new pieces.
I just can't wait to see them play the Knicks. I'm so serious about that.
It's going to be good.
In the Garden, man, and they already hate Trae Young, and DeJounte is going to make them hate them even more.
Yep.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Colin saying he thinks we'll get exponentially more scared of their core. We'll find out. Yeah. All right, that's it. That's our Thursday show. We got one more. We're calling an audible. Tomorrow was going to be a Bulls HQ with Will and Mark.
Omaha.
Mark is busy doing Omaha. Other stuff tomorrow. So we're calling a Peyton Omaha audible. So the three of us will be live again tomorrow. You're going to get a bonus YouTube episode this week. You're going to get five instead of four on YouTube. We'll be remote, but we will be live. Chicago, 3 p.m. tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have some fun Friday.
We shall. It should y'all. Be a good time.
So until then, follow Will on Twitter at @WontGottlieb. Read the piece that he just dropped on allchgo.com about the Vooch extension stuff that we were talking about earlier this week. Great read. Go read it. He's Bow, BWL Sports. I'm Bulls _Peck /Peck steak face, maybe. We'll see.
Steak face!
We are CHGO _Bulls. Shout out and appreciation to our pal and our producer, Joey, running the controls for Joey and Dave and Will. I'm Peck. Until tomorrow, Bulls Nation. See you, Red, be good.